How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying daf, I think, Ayin Gimel of Masechta Bava Metzia, Perek Ezu Neshech. Chevre, we're getting towards the end of Ezu Neshech. I feel like, I was telling my mom earlier, I feel like Ezu Neshech is another one of these prakim in Bava Metzia where it feels like you can make a siyum on just this perek, you know. I haven't felt this way about any other Masechta, Chevre. We've learned a lot of Masechtas. How many Masechtas have we learned, friends? Well, this is book 13 out of 20. Some of those books have like 5 Masechtas in them. So I'll say that we probably learned more than 20 Masechtas. We must have learned more than 20. Right, one of those books had like 5 in them. Right, and then you have like Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah, Yoma. That's like 3. You must have learned at least 20 of these books. And Bava Metzia is the only one so far that it just feels like, first of all, Bava Metzia, as you know, it blows my mind, right? Does it blow everybody else's mind? Come on, it must, right? So, first of all, Bava Metzia in general blows my mind, and therefore maybe part of why it blows my mind is like every perek is like a legendary perek. I remember feeling for the first time after Shnayim Oichs and Betalas. I remember feeling like I can make a siyum just on Shnayim Oichs and Betalas. It was such a mission. I don't remember feeling that way about any other perek. And then you get into legendary prokim like Elu Metzias and Amafkid, the classic Shiba classic. Hazov was you know, Hazov. I don't necessarily know that I felt like I could make a siyum on Perek Azov, even though it was mind-blowingly good. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea over there. Azov was absolutely incredible. But Ezu Neshech, it has such a reputation of being like the hardest Perek. Ezu Neshech. Ezu Neshech, I feel like, is a league of its own. And I definitely am feeling the same way now that we could like make a siyum just on Ezu Neshech. And it's the second perek just in this Masechta alone that I feel like I can make a siyum on just that perek. It's mind blowing. I have a glass of water here, which is pretty awesome too. I can't drink it. I thought that was so funny. All right, let's go weiter. All right, here we are. Ein Beis Mabeis. Two lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbonon. Okay, this daf, I don't know what to tell you about this daf. It's a daf. I feel like towards the end of Ezu, I don't know. Towards the end of Ezu, I don't know what to make of this. Here we go. It's just a bunch of stuff. Also, Ezu Neshech was a little weird because I relied heavily on the art scroll, so maybe that just like affects like my relationship with each daf because it's not coming. Whatever. Let's go weiter. Tanu Rabbanon. Hamolech Havila Mimokim Lemokim. Okay, so if you have a guy, let's call him Shimon. A guy, let's just start. I don't know who's who. Let's call him a guy. Okay? You have a guy. Tanu Rabbanon. Hamolech Havila Mimokim Lemokim. So you have a guy, and he's bringing epis from, he's going to bring something from one place to another place. Okay? Mistom, it's a place where things were cheaper. To a place where things were more expensive, and he's going to sell it in the more expensive place, right? Does Rashi even say that? Mimakom azol, mimakom ayoke. There you go. So you have a guy, and he's going to schlep some merchandise to some other place where he could sell it for a bigger profit. Okay, that's what he's going to do. And then his friend sees him, and he says, "Hey, guy, why don't you let me bring it to that place and I'll sell it for you?" So we had this with Rav Chama the other day, right? I'll take it to the other place for you and I'll sell it for you. I'll make all that profit for you. And then I'll have this money. It'll basically become a loan and I'll be able to spend it and I can make some money off of it. And then I'll return to you that amount. Meaning, right, we saw this the other day with Rav Chama. The example that we gave is like, basically, he had $1,000 worth of merchandise. He was going to go to this other place, sell it for $1,500. The friend says, "How about this? I'll go there. I'll sell it to you for the $1,500. Then I'll use those $1,500, do more business with them. Hopefully, I'll make $2,000, whatever it is, and I'll pay you back $1,500. So the shaila is, he's giving $1,000 but getting back $1,500. So what do we say? So Tanu Rabbanon, Ayomol Chavila Mimokim Lemokim. So you have a guy, and he's bringing epis from one place to another place to sell it for more money in the other place. Mitzol Chaver, his friend finds him, Vomerlo, and the friend says, hey guy, Tinoli, why don't you give me the merchandise? Va'ani ele l'cho, k'derech sh'maylin l'cho b'os malkum, and I'll sell it for you at that higher price in the other place, but then I'll take that money, and I'll do business with it, and I'll pay you back, though, the amount that you were expecting to make in the other place. So birshus mocher mutter, so long as the merchandise remains in the possession of the guy until the point that it's sold, so meaning all along, if anything happens to the merchandise, it's the guy's loss, well then mutter, birshus lokeach oser, but if he gives it be'etzem as a loan to the friend, meaning that if anything happens to it on the merchandise on the way, the friend is responsible, which means that it's a loan. Well, then he's basically giving $1,000 as a loan and getting back $1,500. That's obviously going to be ribbis. So that would be also. So it depends who takes responsibility for it along the way. Again, it's like we saw the other day with Reb Chome. Hamolech peiris mimokim lemokim. Okay, so a fellow is bringing fruits from one place to another place. Mitzol chavero, and his friend says to him, Vamalo, he says, Tanomli, give him to me. Look, he says, look, you know, in that place, I have these fruits. You know, in that place, I'll pay you back with those. So it becomes be'etzem like a saw b'saw situation. It's saw b'saw has come up. I think we're officially going to get to it tomorrow? Or in 2 days? I think 2 days. We're going to get to saw b'saw. Right, I can't loan you a sa'ah of wheat and you'll pay me back a sa'ah of wheat because that price can fluctuate. But what we're saying is though, but one of the exceptions to sa'ah b'sa'ah is that if you have it already, right? So if let's say the friend were to say, hey guy, can you lend me a sa'ah of wheat? I have a sa'ah at home, just whatever, the door is locked, and I'm waiting for the key, whatever it is. So if you already have it, then sa'ah b'sa'ah is okay, because it's only asur midrabanan. Anyways, and the rabbis don't say, if you had it, it's okay, b'seder. So now in this scenario, the friend is saying, look, can I have your payers now? And I know you were going to this other place. There, Darton, I oichit have payers, I'll pay you back with those. So that's acceptable. Okay, so again, so the guy is moving fruits from one place to another. Mitzol chaver, his friend finds him. Varmalo, he says, "Hey, guy, tinom li, give them to me." Vani elilcho perish yeshli ba'osu makom. Look, I have the same fruits. I have these fruits in a different place. I'll give them to you. Yeshlo peris ba'osu makom. If he in fact has peris in that place, mutter vimlav oser. If he doesn't have peris in that place, oser. Next scenario. Ve'achamorin. Mailim bimokim ayoker kibimokim hazol. So this was talking about merchants, okay? And these chamorin, these donkey drivers, they were like, I think like traveling merchants, be'etzim. They would go to some place and pick up schoyer. They would pick up merchandise in some place where they would get it at a cheap price. And then they would hop on their donkeys with all the stuff and they would schlep it to some other place where they would sell it for more expensive. And they would have clients there, I guess, in this other place that would buy their stuff and they would make a profit. So what if these donkey drivers are in the place where they usually sell their wares for a profit, okay? And, you know, they have their customers, whatever it is, and they right now don't have merchandise, right? They're on their way to go to pick up their schoyer. They're on the way to go pick up their merchandise, and they say to, you know, they're wealthy people there who have money available to invest, you know, to spend on a merchandise to pay in advance. So the donkey drivers say to the wealthy people there, they say, hey, if you pay me, now up front, if you give me cash now, I'll sell it to you for the lower price. I'll sell it to you for the lower price, not for the more expensive price that we charge over here. If you give me now money up front, before we even go pick up anything, if you pay in advance, we'll give you a better price. We'll give you the cheaper price. So obviously this rings bells in our ribbis minds. And we're saying, wait, are they getting a better deal? Because are the wealthy people getting a better deal? Because they're being forced, well, if they agree, then they would have to then wait to get their schoyer, to get their merchandise, and therefore they are sort of getting a better price on account of the fact that they have to wait, which is basically, you know, how we define ribis. You know, a financial agreement based on that takes into account the fact that you have to wait for it and gives you better terms because of it. So if that's the case, then that would be problematic. So here we go. Vachamarin, so these traveling merchants who travel by donkey, Mylin b'mokim ayoke k'b'mokim azol, they can, accept money in a place where they would generally sell for more expensive. They can accept a less expensive price if they pay up front, you know, if they receive the money up front before going to pick up the schayr. Ve'einon choshishin, and it's no problem. My time, how come it's no problem? Shouldn't that be ribis? Aren't these wealthy people getting a better deal because they're going to have to wait to receive the schayr? So Rav Papa Omar Nichulu Dimgalu Tari. No, not necessarily. They're not paying less because they have to wait for it. They're paying less because, meaning, okay, these merchants are not giving these wealthy people a better deal because, well, since you're gonna, you know, because look, I understand you're gonna have to wait to receive it, therefore we're getting you a better deal. No, that's not why they're doing it. They would charge the same thing even if they would be able to deliver it in an hour. They would still, you know, say, look, if you give us the money now, we'll charge you less, because what they want, it's beneficial to the merchants themselves to be able to come to town with lots of money, right? There's a difference between a merchant who comes to his buyers, to his suppliers with, you know, a little bit of money, you know, says, all right, you know, yeah, I'll buy one of these, two of these, you know, and somebody who comes with mamish, a bank in his pocket, and he says, all right, here he puts down a wad of cash on the table. He says, I'm a wealthy merchant. All of a sudden, there's opportunities. All of a sudden, right? What does it say? Papa Amr says, Papa Nichalu, it's beneficial for the merchants. The Megalu Tara, it opens up gates. All of a sudden, the merchants are going to open up lines, right? The wholesalers, the suppliers are going to open up lines of credit and things, right? If you have money. Then there are more opportunities. So therefore, the merchants are not offering a better price because the wealthy people having to wait. No, they're offering a better price because it's in their own interest to kind of show up with a whole bunch of money, regardless of whether or not the wealthy people are going to have to wait or not. It's a matter of they just want to be able to show up with a bunch of money. Rav Acha Breid Rav Iko Omar says, Rav Acha Breid Rav Iko Nichalu, it's beneficial to them. Dimos legabai, because then they give them better deals, right? Meaning, if they come to town and they have existing relationships with suppliers, and they come to town and they know that they already, and the suppliers know that the merchants already received money, that they already received payment for the wares, and because the suppliers want to maintain good relations with the merchants, so what will happen is it's in the supplier's interests, assuming that I guess the merchants are good enough customers. It's then in the supplier's interest to make sure that the merchants are making a profit. Now, if the merchants show up with money in advance at the price, at kind of the lower price, the wholesale price, well, the suppliers are going to want to make sure that the merchants also get to make a profit in order to kind of keep that relationship. So then they'll bump down the price even more to ensure that the merchants can make a profit. So therefore, again, it's in the interest of the merchants to get payment in advance, because by showing up with money already, the suppliers will then give them even steeper discounts, you know, in order to kind of maintain a good relationship with the merchants. So we saw two examples of why it's beneficial for the merchants themselves to be able to get paid in advance. We're not necessarily rewarding the wealthy paid customers for having to wait. My benayu ki benayu tagu chadato. Well, what if it's a new merchant? The nafkamina is if it's a new merchant. So while, you know, according to a papa, look, whoever shows up with a bunch of money will be able to kind of have more options available to them. So that is regardless of if it's your first time with these suppliers or not. Whereas kind of the existing relationships that want to be maintained, and in order to maintain those relationships, the suppliers will give the merchants an even steeper discount if they show up with money in advance. Well, then that would only be for sort of existing relationships, not for new merchants. So that would be the difference between Rav Acha ben Dervika and Rav Papa. Bisura, Azle, I bought, in Surah, it would be, I think it was four grivas or something. What's the currency in what's the currency in Ukraine? Yeah, griva, grive, bezuza. First is what's, is it grivna? And in Poland, it's the zloty, I think. I think in Poland, it's zloty. And in Ukraine, I think it's grivna. I think. So, okay, so Basura, so in Surah, Azle Arba. So in Surah, it was four griva per one zuz would get you four griva of, I don't know, wheat or something. Bikafri, and in Kafri, Azle Shisa, wow, things were cheaper in Kafri, you would get six grivas for a zuz. So Yoiv Rav, Zuze Lechamre, so Rav gave some money to some merchants to go to Surah and buy stuff for get a better deal. V'kabel olei onsa, and Rav accepted upon himself that if anything happens on the way, it would be his loss. Okay, so it wasn't a loan to them. He was taking responsibility the whole time. Right, onsa de orcha. V'shaku minayu chamisha. And then, when they would come back with all the schoira, he would then basically receive, five grivas per zuz and keep one griva per zuz with the merchants. Vinishkol Shisa, why doesn't he just take all six of them? After all, he did accept responsibility for the whole time, so it wasn't a loan to them, so let him take the entire stuff that was procured. Adam Choshev Shiny was them, because Rav was an Adam Choshev, obviously, so he wanted to kind of show some extra, I guess, just go for kind of the middle ground. So he gave four, they bought it, right? Meaning he came in Surah where they embarked from. It was four grivas per zuz. They purchased in a place of six grivas per zuz. So he kind of met them in the middle. He benefited, they benefited. And that was because he's an Adam Choshev. So I guess he wanted to kind of, hold himself up to a greater standard and be more sort of in the middle. Rabbi Asi
asks Rabbi Yechanan, Maulasis Bigrutos, what about with metals?
Because, for example, in the earlier case, we had talked about suppliers with existing relationships that you'll keep on going back to the same supplier. But what about metals? I guess apparently if you're going to buy metals, you just you don't necessarily have existing suppliers. You see whoever's got what you need, you buy from them. So then what? Would you be able, so if these merchants said, hey, if you pay me now, up front, you'll get a better deal. So then would it be an issue of ribis or not? Because it's not necessarily because of existing relationships that they want the money. So, ma'u lasos b'grutos kein omerlei. So, b'yechanon says, b'kesho b'shmo b'byosi lasis kein b'chle pishton. Well, let me tell you, Epis, b'shmo b'byosi wanted to do this with linen garments, right? So I guess also something that would kind of just be you buy from whoever has it. V'lo inicho Rebbe, and Rebbe did not allow him to do so. So apparently it would be limited to Paris. Those who said that it was Taka Rebbe who wanted to do this with metals. V'lo inicho b'shmo b'byosi, but b'shmo b'byosi did not allow him to do so. Pardesa, when it comes to a vineyard, right? If you give money, early in advance by a vineyard, in order to collect the grapes later on when they are ripe. What is Rashi? Pardesa knosiyayin menakerim bedom prusim, to buy wine from a vineyard for a cheap price. Kol peiros shana zo b'chach v'chach v'lokchin achar shein boser osmadar aval adayin lo yegia lebikur. Then I guess that they would purchase it, I guess.
Wait, one second. So it sounds like at some point before the grapes were ripe and I guess ready to be made into wine, he was already buying in advance the wine from the vineyard, right? The wine that he was going to purchase later. So Rav also Shmuel Shari. So Rav says it's not allowed. Shmuel says it is allowed. Rav says it's not allowed. Came to the Kame Shavya Tvei Mischazik Yagur Notule. Well, since in the future, obviously, once the vineyard is ripe and the fruits and the grapes are geschmack, so they're going to be more expensive. So it seems like he's getting a better deal because he's having to wait. Shmuel Shari, but Shmuel says it's permitted because came to Havi Beit Tayua Lo Merze Kiagur Notule. Because since. You know, there's a risk. I mean, yeah, if everything works out well, yeah, obviously the grapes are going to be much better when they're fully ripe. But what if it's a terrible year and there is no yield? And like what if there's a fire and all the vineyards get burnt down? I mean, right, there's a big olive oil shortage right now because apparently lots of olive trees got burned down in Greece or something like that. And now there's like not a lot of olive oils, right? Like that can happen. So, because there's risk involved, it's not guaranteed that, like, you're paying less now and getting more later. You could pay less now and then it all gets lost. So, therefore, it's not, you're not necessarily getting a better deal. You're not necessarily getting a better deal because you're waiting. You could end up getting a worse deal. It's a risk. So, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chiya Umbondi Rab, and even Rab admits, though, Betori Dinofish Pseidai, that if the vineyard is going to be harvested, going to be plowed with oxen, well, then it would be acceptable because the oxen cause a lot of damage, and then there's already more, of a chance of things, there's more risk, I guess, involved in that process. Amar Rav Shmuel Anu Deshavshe Shivsho. Okay, so Shmuel said that in the scenario where you have a sharecropper, we're going to learn more about this, I think, in a day or two, that when you have a situation of a sharecropper, so normally the sharecroppers would provide their own seeds, but in the event that, I mean, it depended where you were, but in the event that the owner of the field was providing the seeds, well, then here's the thing: if he were to provide the seeds, we're going to get into a whole discussion of this, I think, at the end of tomorrow's daf. If the owner were to provide the seeds and get paid back with the same amount of seeds, well, then it's a situation of saw b'saw. So therefore, the suggestion was, hafochu ba'ara, do epis to the ground. You know, shovel a little, do epis. Kiechi dekani lechu gufu da'ara, so that you will acquire, the land. And then, the seeds that will be paid back to you are the seeds from Be'etzim, your portion of the land. Meaning, you're not going to acquire all of his land, but acquire like a small portion, enough that I guess would be able to grow the amount that you lent. And then you could say that the payback is coming from your own land, and it's not so b'savi ilo havi l'chu kavav v'aser. If you don't do that, well, then we're concerned about a loan of so b'sav, of one measure for it to be paid back with the same measure in the future, and that would be problematic. Omelu rove lehanu dimantre baige. So Rav said to those who would guard the, I think like fields. Well, what are baige? I think they're like fields. Shomei akomos arach kotzir. So the wheat and stuff. So they would have guards for the fields to make sure that the crop doesn't get ruined. If the crop gets ruined, they're in big trouble. So they would have guards, and like I said, that was a parnasa to be a guard of a field. So Amilu Rove Lanu Demantre Baige. So Rove said to those people who were field guards. So the thing is, they would guard the fields until the field was harvested. Once the field was harvested, their job was done. But they wouldn't get paid until after like the threshing, until after everything was done. But that took more time. And then at the end, when they got paid, they would get a bonus. So the thing is, it looks like they're getting extra money because they're having to wait for it. So Rava's advice was, look, poku afochu bebeidari, just go and it sounds to me almost kind of like a mashkiach or at a restaurant. My understanding is that the mashkiach, or not even necessarily the mashkiach, but like, in a situation where you have to worry about like bishul akum and stuff, just do like something, be yotzes on, turn on the oven, do epis, right, to be to be mishtatef in what's going on over there, and then your yoitz is on, right? So go over there into the, you know, granary and do something, you know, pick up a few sheaves, you know, flip something, you know, move something around a little bit, you know, be yoitzes on that you participated in that part of it as well. So that you're technically still working until that time, so that there isn't a break, you're not having to wait for your payment, rather, you're actually working until the time of payment. Because as we learned the other day, I believe, when did we learn this? Andaf Samechei, that that payment for a job comes at the end, right? Rental pay or payment comes at the end of the job, and therefore you were still Vayishaita Ozule Dikamoz Digabayuchin. And it's at that time when they're paying you that they're giving you the bonus at that time. So it doesn't look like you're getting a bonus because you had to wait for it. Rather, you know, at the end of your work period, you're getting paid, and if they want to give you a bonus, they can give you a bonus. That's very nice of them. I just remember how I said I had some water. I made a mistake. I drank it down the wrong pipe. Sometimes you forget, you know. Right. Which one is it again? The trachea is for breathing, and the esophagus is for water. All right, next time. All right. Amar le Rabbanan the Rav. Says the Rabbanan to Rav, "Ochel my ribis, nu Rav, you're doing ribis. How come? Dechule alma shakli arbo misalki larisa benissin. Well, because the general practice is that the people who have sharecroppers on their property, so they charge them four somethings." What is it for? Korin b'chakirus asada. Okay, most people would charge their sharecroppers four cores. They would charge their sharecroppers four cores, and the party was over in Nissan. Right, comes Nissan, they would say, okay, you know, you're done. You planted, you worked the field. Give me my four cores, and I'll catch you next year. But Mar not to lot ear, but Rava, you wait another month. You wait until Iyar, and then Vishakil Shisa, and then you charge him six cores. So it sounds like you're charging them an extra 50% because you have to wait another month. So Amrilu, he says, are you crazy? Atun Kavdisun Shalokadin, it's you guys who are acting improperly, because Ar La'ar is Mishtaibid. The sharecropper has the right to work the land. Iatun Misal Kisulu Benissin. You're evicting them early. If you force them to leave in Nissan, mafsidosu lihu bechama, you're actually causing them quite a bit of loss because you're forcing them, you're evicting them from your field before their produce is actually fully ripe. Ono, I on the other end, natrona luad iar, I let them stay for another month to allow their produce to fully ripen. And ultimately, they're walking away with a much heftier profit. And therefore, when I charge them six, it's actually 50% more. It's actually because, you know, relative to the increase in their yield by having that extra month, you know, six core is actually an appropriate fee. And therefore, you know, you're the one who are you know, kind of shortchanging them because you're evicting them prematurely and they get less of a yield. I allow them to enjoy their full yield, and you know, and that's reflected in my higher price. That was a success. Yeah, the esophagus. Esophagus. Remember, water goes down the esophagus. Breathing goes into the trachea. I think. Sharna? Is that, that's how it goes, right? So weiter. When we learn chulin, every mesechta that we haven't learned yet is like, it feels like it's somehow around the corner, even though chulin we still have a long time. But it feels like everything is not sort of beyond our grasp. I mean, we don't have that much more of nezikin left, and then chulin is in kachin. All right. Look, chavir. Soon there's only going to be 3 years left of Babylon Talmud. Oh my gosh. Chevre, what are you going to do
What are you going to, Chaver, to the people who listen to Babylon Talmud and deal with me every day, what's going to happen when it's all over? What are you going to do? Oh my gosh. I might have to wean you off of Babylon Talmud. I don't know. Maybe we have to come up with a weaning program. All right. Let's go weiter. It might be too drastic if we just all of a sudden stop. I need to get more water. Oh my gosh. One second. I didn't want to cough too loud into the microphone. It might mess with things. Rav Mari Bar Rochel, look at that. Rav Mari Bar Rochel is. Who's Rochel? Rochel is one of the daughters of Shmuel. I believe Shmuel had two daughters who were taken captive, which unfortunately is something that we know about these days. One of the captors impregnated one of Shmuel's daughters. Ultimately, he ended up converting to Judaism, but at the time of the conception, he had not yet converted to Judaism, and therefore Rav Mari goes based on his mother's name, Rochel, rather than his father's name. So Rav Mari bar Rochel, Mashkin Lei, Ha'unachri, Besov. So Mari bar Rochel had lent money to a Nochri, and the Nochri gave him a mashkante, a property, a house. Other Zavna Larava, the Nochri then ended up selling the property of the mashkanta to Rava. Okay, so the Nochri doesn't own it anymore. Rava does, but Mari bar Rochel still is mashkanta. He could still, you know, use the field in accordance with the mashkanta. Noter tracer yarche shata. So then Mari bar Rochel waited a year. Shokol agur besa amti le Rava, and then after a year, he started paying rent to Rava, who is now the owner of the field. Omerle, and he says to Rava, Haidilo amtoi lemar agur besa adoin, and the reason why I haven't paid you rent until now is this tamashkanta shata, because as we learned the other day, and daf samiches, that a default mashkanta is for a year. Iboi nochri lisalki lohava motzi misalikli. If the nochri would have wanted to evict me from the field, he would have been unable to, and therefore I had the right to be there for 1 year and would not have to pay. But hashto lishkomar agrabesa, but now that 1 year is over, let me pay you rent for the house. Omele Rava says to Mari bar Rochel, Yava yodaino davi memushkin le lemar, if I would have known that it was a mashkanta to you, lo ava zavinin ole, I would not have purchased the house. Hashto kidineim of dinon loch, and now that you had, now that it's your mashkanta, and it began as the Nochri's mashkanta, that the house belonged to the Nochri, and I purchased it from him, since I didn't know that it was your mashkanta between you and the Nochri, so let us rule it based on the rules of the Nochri, is not based on the Torah rules. So kidinem abdinan loch, which is called Amos de lo misalki bezuze, that so long as he has not yet paid back the loan in order to evict you, lo shakil agar beso, so then, you know, you can't collect rent for the mashkanta. That would be the law of the Nochrim, is that so long as the loan had not yet been paid, then there wouldn't be rent for the mashkanta. So Ananami, so I also lo shakil nami noch agabesa, I'm not going to accept rent from you, says Rava, adam salak noloch bezuze, until I evict you via the Nochri paying you back. I.e., I won't accept rent from you until the Nochri pays you back, whereby evicting you from the field. I don't know if that's a proper sentence structure.
Have you seen the rabbis that they're eating ribis, that they're ribising? So Rav Mibarnish says to Ravashi, look what the rabbis are doing. They're paying for wine in Tishrei, but they're only selecting it and receiving it in Teves a few months later. Now the thing is, wine is cheaper in Teves, now in Tishrei. Wine is cheaper in Tishrei, more expensive in Teves, but they're paying Tishrei prices for it, but accepting delivery in Teves. Now the wine is already in barrel at that point. The thing is, I think the logic being, Rav Mibarnish's logic being that, well, the reason why it's less expensive in Tishrei is because ultimately some of the wines are going to turn sour, are going to not be good, are going to be vinegar. And therefore, it's cheaper because there's a certain amount of risk involved. But these rabbis, when they collect in Teves, they're collecting the good barrels. They're not gonna collect vinegar barrels. So Be'etzin, they're paying a cheaper price, assuming because of the fact that some of them are gonna be bad. Yet they're only collecting, when the winemaker gives them their barrels, they're only giving them good barrels. So they're Be'etzem kind of getting a cheaper price because, meaning they're getting a cheaper price because they're paying early and having to essentially, well, I guess they're paying a certain price that I guess takes into effect certain risk, but ultimately then they're receiving more value because they're receiving without any risk because they're only receiving the good stuff. I think that's the Be'etzem point. What does Rashi say? If you would take it already in Tishrei, then maybe it would become vinegar. That is why the Mocher accepted upon himself Achrayis. Right, so it seems like if they would have accepted delivery already in Tishrei, then there would be a chance that it would become vinegar. Now they're paying the winemaker, who's then going to deliver it, however, only later on in Teves, and because they're paying up front, he's essentially accepting upon himself responsibility, right? And because they're having to wait for it, essentially, and paying it up front, he's then taking responsibility, making sure that they're only going to get back the good stuff. So it sounds like they're getting this benefit, because they're paying up front and having to wait to receive it. So Rav Ashi responds, so Amalei inunami achamer koyave achalalo koyave. No, that's not necessarily a good allegation because these rabbis are paying for wine, they're not paying for vinegar. Meikar dechamer chamer dechola chola, and I guess the assumption being that any barrel that was destined to become good wine already at the time that they pay for it was going to be good wine, and any barrel that was destined to be sour wine turned to vinegar was already at that time destined to turn to vinegar, and what they paid for was wine, not vinegar. So that's why what they're receiving is actually what they paid for. Aishaita who become mavchere, so it was actually at the time that they gave the money it was at the time that they gave the money that they were actually buying wine and not any of the vinegars. Ravina hava yoiv zuze livnei akra dishan vaso. So Ravina would give money to the people of akra dishan vaso. I guess he would give the money in advance, but at an earlier stage when there was no shar, ayotze, but then it was in order to pay whatever the price was going to be at the time of delivery. So they would give money, up front. But then, the actual amount that they would pay, however, I guess it was like maybe some kind of deposit, I think. But the actual money that they would pay would be at the time of delivery. So therefore, there wasn't actually any issue of ribis. V'shafche le'tipa tafe kofisa, and the winemakers would throw in an extra shtickle wine. And the shaila is if that extra shtickle is going to be considered ribis. So Ravina asked Ravashi, is this allowed? Omer the Ravashi says, in, yeah, of course it's allowed. Yes, it's allowed. Achulehu, the kamach le gaboch, they're giving it to you as a gift. They're not giving it to you as interest. They're not saying, oh, we're giving you this extra because, you know, you waited to receive it. No, they're saying, you know, here's a gift from us, and that's allowed. Omele ho'ar lav didhu hi. But then Ravina asks Ravashi, says, yeah, but what about Ravashi? What about the fact that the land that they grow on is actually not their land? It's land that they took from people who abandoned the land because they couldn't pay the tax on it. Omele, so Ravashi responded, ar the task of Mishav de look, all land is Meshubud be'etzim to the land tax. Umalka Omer, the king says, man deyoiv taska leichol ar. Look, whoever pays the land tax can enjoy the property, right, the benefits of the land. And, you know, for people, if people aren't paying the land tax, then they aren't entitled to reap the benefits of the field. So that would be acceptable as well. Omer the Rapapa, the Rav Rapapa says to Rav Chazimar, have you seen Rav Hane Rabbanan, these rabbis, the Yaive Zuze, Akarga de Inche, that they pay? Rashi says, what does Rashi say? Karga is kesef gulgalta, a certain head tax, a certain tax per person. So you call Yehudim, kol echod nosin kesef gulgolus lamelech. It sounds like it was a special, like, I don't know, could this be, this was like a dimi tax or something? This was like, you know, it sounds like it was a special tax for the Jews that they had to pay to the king. So Rav Papa says to Rav, do you know that there are certain Jews who basically exploit poor Jews who aren't able to pay? That they pay for the head tax of people, mishab debu tvei, and then they kind of like, it sounds like they basically force them to now work for them because they paid the Jew tax for them. So Amar Lei, so Rav says, hashte ikushvi shriva lo amri lechu. Look, if I would have died, I wouldn't have been able to tell you this thing. Meaning, I'm happy that I'm able to share with you ha'milsa, this thing. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes, that Rav Sheshes says, mohar kayu dahane. Look, the responsibility for these people's enslavement is, you know, don't look at these yidden who are paying their tax for them. Look at the, look to the king. Malka Omer, that the king says, mandlo yoiv karga, lishtabid lemandlo yoiv karga, that whoever does not pay, the Jew tax, he becomes, enslaved, in Evid. Meshubed to somebody who pays it for him. Rav Sa'orim, Achva de Rava, Rava's brother of Sa'orim, have a tokif inche, he would sort of force people, de lomailu, who were not so gishmak, people shtikol shtunk, so then Rav Sa'orim would take them, umailu be goharka de Rava. Rava, it sounds like basically when Rava would go to give the shear, I don't know, so like, I don't know, maybe that people, it was hard to like, there were a lot of people there, and to like, you would have to like step over them or something. So you would like sit on some like thing and they would like carry it or something. I don't know. Anyway, so his brother, Rav Sa'orim, would sort of compel people, force people who were a little bit of a shtunk to kind of hold this thing. So Omer Lei, Rav Shapir Kavadit, and Rava praised Rav Sa'orim. He says, you're doing a good thing. The Tanina, because we learned in the Mishnah, Ra'isa She'enu Noi Kashur. If you see a person is acting like a shtunk, Minayin Shat Rasha the Shtabid Bo, how do you know that you can be Meshabed in Tamilomar? Therefore it says, La'olam Boim Tavodu Uva Achechem, that you should be Meshabed, I think in Eved Kanani, and also Uva Achechem, as well as your brethren, if they are being a shtunk. Yochel Afilu Noi Kashur. What if he's not being a shtunk? What if he's acting as a... I don't know, a good guy. Tamalom v'achechem neisal yish ba'achiv loser debo b'farich. So therefore, it says that your brethren, if they're acting like good people, so don't make them work. Omer Rav Chama says Rav Chama, I man de yoiv zuzay lechavrei lemizben lechamra. Well, if somebody gives money to his friend to buy wine, you know, at the peaks, you know, at the peak season when the prices are cheapest. Ufasha velozovinle, and he fell asleep at the wheel, and he didn't buy it. So mishalim le kidka ozil apaivoso de zul shofot. So he needs to pay back his friend. Meaning, right? So if a guy says to his friend, "Hey, friend, can you buy me wine for the cheap? you know, prices that they have now, and he totally drops the ball, and he doesn't buy the wine. So he has to pay back the guy, he has to basically spend the money and buy wine at the price of that they have at the port of Zul Shafat. So he's got to basically go and buy wine for the guy at a cheap price. Omar Memer says, Memer Amisa Lishmai Tekami de Rav Zvid, Minaido, I said this before, Zvid Minaido, Omar, and he said, Ki Komar Rav Chama, when Rav Chama says this, that the friend would have to buy the guy wine for the cheap prices of the port of Zul Shafat, and I mean, they bain Beinstein. That would be if the guy said, just buy me wine for a cheap price. So then, I guess he would have been able to buy wine at the cheap price, and he dropped the ball. Aval b'yayin zeh lo, because miyemidim zabde ne le niyale. But if the instructions of the guy were, I want you to buy this particular wine, well then, even if the friend would have said, you know, accepted upon himself that if he didn't, then he would have to, you know, buy wine at this cheap price, he would not have to buy wine at the cheap price if the instructions were to buy a specific wine, because even if he would have, if he wouldn't have dropped the ball, if he would have gone, who says that the guy, that this specific wine would have been available for sale? So therefore, it'd be off to a kravashi. Omar says, "Avashi, afilu yain stam namilo." No, even if the guy said, "Just buy me any wine that you find at the current cheap prices," still, the friend would not have to. If he drops the ball, he would not have to go and buy wine at this cheap Zul Shafat port prices. My time outcome because asmachti, v'asmachta lo kanya. Well, because it's an asmachta, you know, he didn't, when he said, oh yeah, if I don't buy it, then I'll like, you know, get you wine at a really cheap price. He didn't really mean that, and therefore it's not an actual kinyan, and the doesn't have to do it. According to Rav Ashi, why should this be any different from the following Mishnah, im ovir v'lo avid ashalim b'meitva, that if I don't work the land, I think he's talking about a sharecropper, and a sharecropper basically has to, he works the land, and then he pays the owner of the land. What if he drops the boy? The pasha doesn't work the land. So ashalim b'meitva, so then I will pay you some gishmaka stuff. And there he has to taka do it. Why don't we say it's asmachta lokanya? Hosam biyado achalav biyado. Well, the difference is over there, you know, it was entirely in his hands. He just needed to work the field, and he totally just ignored it and didn't do it. Over here, even if he would have gone to the market, who says that he would have necessarily found a wine that was available, and therefore, you know, there is an element that's beyond his control, and therefore we could say asmachta lo kanya here. Chevre, that was daf ein gimel, masechta vav mitzvah. Hope you enjoy. Peace out.